The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Essa
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, President Mahama says Ghana-China relations are good. Government to pay UTAC premium arrears in installments. Debate on whether or not to elect MMDCEs resurfaces. African heads of state denounce self-imposed president of Central African Republic. And $5 million reward for information leading to capture of Ugandan warlord Joseph Kony and two others. First, the summary by Doreen Ampofu.
President Mahama has given strong indications that relations between Ghana and China are still solid. He said the fear that the arrest of some Chinese who have been engaged in galamsey in Ghana called my relations between the two countries is unfounded. President Mahama was speaking to members of the Ghana-China Friendship Association who called on him at the Flagstaff House in Accra. Government says it will pay the 2012 arrears of members of UTAC in three installments. The first installment, which will be paid next month, will cover 4 months' arrears. The second, to be paid in July, will also cover 4 months, while the last 4 months will be paid in September. This was contained in a statement signed by the Minister of Information and Media Relations, Mahama Ayariga. The debate on whether to elect MMDCE still continues. The latest to add his voice is an expert in governance at the Institute of Local Government Studies, Eric Odru Osei. He says the elections, when done devoid of partisanship, will reverse the trend of agitations over the presidential nomination of MMDCEs. And African heads of state have decided not to recognize rebel chief Michel Djotodia as president of the Central African Republic. Chadian President Idriss Déby told journalists that it is impossible to recognize a self-proclaimed president, adding that they want the country to elect a transitional president who would serve for no more than 18 months. Meanwhile, the U.S. has offered a reward of $5 million for information leading to the arrest or capture of Ugandan warlord Joseph Kony and two other top LRA leaders.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. President John Mahama has stated that Ghana's relations with China remain solid, contrary to speculations that relations between the two have been strained due to illegal mining activities by some Chinese in the country. He says China should not be stereotyped in this case, because laws of every country need to be obeyed, irrespective of who is involved. This came up when the president received members of the Ghana-China Friendship Association at the Flagstaff House in Accra. The Chinese delegation is in the country to attend a forum on local government as well as explore areas for investment. A report by Pascaline Adadevo.
Friendship between Ghana and China dates back the time of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, with its slogan Solidarity and Development. The Ghana-China Friendship Association, GACHIFA, aims to exchange ideas and promote development. The Chinese delegation has been in the country since last week, and the leader of the delegation, Xu Kaiyo, hopes to bring more investors and a technical team to the country soon to study Ghana's business environment for partnerships. Secretary to the Ghana-China Friendship Association and a former Secretary to Cabinet, Mike Egan, speaks on activities undertaken by the delegation for CA.
We had also introduced to them the idea that we want them to consider investing in renewable energy sources, particularly in solar and biogas. And then we talked to tourism because of an interest in wanting them to promote tourists from China to Ghana, working together to, first of all, produce the product. For now, we have all the time been trying to get them to show interest not only in what they are targeting as businessmen, but also what our socioeconomic needs are. We have just had a visit to the Minister of Food and Agriculture, where they are considering large-scale agriculture plantations.
President John Mahama, a member of GACHIFA, acknowledged that China is Ghana's biggest trading partner in consumer goods. He said Ghana is reviewing its Investment Promotion Act so that it will be more responsive to investors coming in. President Mahama again woos foreign investors to the country by preaching that Ghana is safe and has a politically stable environment for doing business.
One of the things we're looking to do is to particularly promote public-private partnerships between African countries and Chinese investors and businessmen. There are many opportunities domestically in our countries in Africa that government is not in a position to be able to adequately fund. And so we welcome investment from outside, and we welcome that investment in infrastructure. It could be in the form of roads. Ghana continues to be the safest, most secure, investor-friendly, politically stable country, I dare say, in Africa. That has attracted huge investor interest.
One issue that the president strongly spoke on in recent times has been with illegal mining activities in the country, mainly operated by the Chinese. He told the Chinese delegation that China is not being stereotyped in Ghana because other nationals are also involved.
There have been a few issues, but I think that there are issues that do not affect the relationship between our two countries. We've had some few problems in small-scale mining, but like I said, we should not stereotype and target or prejudice. The thing is, we have laws that need to be obeyed, and it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's an Eskimo or it's a Nigerian or it's a Chinese or it's whatever. It's not about who it is or what the race is. It is about what the law says and how we implement it. And so I'll urge that we don't stereotype when we do this kind of thing, and to assure our Chinese friends that our relationship remains on solid ground and that we'll continue to work together to move that relation to an even higher level.
The Chinese delegation leaves on Friday.
Pascalina Dadebo reporting.
Vice President Pakwesi Nisa-Afa says government is determined to uphold air safety standards to facilitate domestic and international businesses. He said the government expects the country's aviation sector to contribute about 8% to GDP. In view of this, government has directed the Ghana Airports Company to retain its revenue to enable it to expand the sector. Vice President Inisa Arthur Sethers and the Minister of Transport, Mrs. Difa Atibo, led the President of the International Civil Aviation Organization, Roberto Gonzalez, to pay a courtesy call on him at the Flagstaff House in Accra, Seth Eya reports.
Mr. Gonzalez is in the country to attend the 23rd plenary session of the Africa Civil Aviation Commission underway in Accra. Vice President Emisata said Ghana will continue to fulfill her obligation towards the International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO. He said this has enabled the country to benefit substantially in air safety and technical assistance from ICAO.
Air traffic has grown tremendously in the last few years. I must also commend them for the record of safety, and I hope that this will continue with us. I just making the commitment of the Ghana government to increasing cooperation with you, because we've seen that the standards that have been set have facilitated the safety of the air transport system in Ghana, and it is growing. And I think that the rate at which it's growing, maybe will be contributing more than 8% to Ghana's GDP very soon, because it's facilitating a lot of business and in the dynamic areas of the economy now, and especially in the oil sector. The airport company has also been giving a lot of freedom to manage its own resources. The government has decided that internally the funds that they generate from fees and other charges will be retained by them to use for the development of the air system.
The president of ICAO, Mr. Gonzalez, praised Ghana for her air safety records and urged the authorities to maintain it. He pledged ICAO's support for Ghana as it prepares to assume the presidency of the Africa Civil Aviation Commission, AFCAC.
Hosting this conference of AFCAC, it means not only the responsibility of hosting this, but it's also the responsibility for the country to be the president of AFCAC for the next 2 years. That normally is the Director General of Civil Aviation responsibility. AFCAC is a regional organization, and we work We try to work very close with them in order to improve safety. Safety is one of our main concerns in this continent, and also liberalization of air transport. Someone asked me why the fares in Africa are so expensive. When you don't have competition, they're expensive. And to have competition, you have to open your agreements with other states. I know that Ghana has this policy. We commend you for that. The growth in Ghana is extremely important, but you are doing well. Ghana is one of the states that we don't have concerns about safety. You are doing well. You have a good tradition and good professionals in aviation.
The 23rd plenary session of the Africa Civil Aviation Commission will end on Friday. Seth Iya, reporting for Radio Ghana.
Meanwhile, the need for the African aviation industry to permanently remedy its safety and security deficiencies has been re-echoed. The Minister for Transport, Mrs. Jifa Ativo, said despite the progress made by the aviation industry in the region, the African air transport system is still bedeviled with lots of challenges. She charged the players in the sector to come out with workable measures to address these challenges. Mrs. Ativo was speaking at the opening of the 23rd plenary session of the African Civil Aviation Commission in Accra. Linda Goji and Sophia Koko have found this report.
The 23rd plenary session of the African Aviation Commission brought together all players in the civil aviation industry within 54 African states. The stakeholders will, among other things, fashion out strategies to further develop the African civil aviation industry. The Minister for Transport, Mrs. Jifa Ativo, said the government of Ghana is fully aware of the importance of aviation and will continue to support the Kotoka International Airport to become the aviation hub in the sub-region. She indicated that safety within the aviation industry is a global affair and Africans must adhere to the requisite aviation precautions.
Africa contributes approximately 3% of global air traffic, which is woefully inadequate considering its size and population. Despite the considerable progress made in aviation in the region, it is sad to say that it is easier to travel to Europe with a foreign airline than with an African airline. The most serious problem in Africa is one of safety and security, which frequently do not meet international standards. It is observed that the rate of air disasters in Africa is 5 times higher than the global rate. We need to make a frank and realistic assessment of the state of aviation in Africa and come up with an equally realistic and practical solution to solving most of the major challenges confronting the African.
The Secretary General of the African Airlines Association, Dr. Elijah Chingunshu, asked other members of other African states to emulate Ghana, who uses tax collected from aviation to develop the sector. He hoped that at the end of the session, strategies will be developed to help the region meet international aviation standards.
Linda Goji and Sophia Koko found that report.
The National Executive Council of UTAC says although it is not happy with the outcome of a meeting held yesterday, it will leave the decision to call off the strike to its members. UTAC met with the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, Ministry of Education and the Ministry of Finance to dialogue on their demands. UTAC, which demanded a bulk payment of all arrears, was not happy. The Fair Wages wanted to pay the arrears in bits. The University of Ghana's president of UTAC, Dr. Langong Bini, told Radio Ghana that it is sure it will have a response from its members by this evening. He spoke to Gloria Anderson.
Education and the Minister of Finance, they really explained their situation to us and proposed payment plan for the 2012 market premium arrears for academic senior members of the public university. But we were there as NEC, as the National Executive Committee of UTAC. But left with deliberation, we decided we have to come back to our various campuses and communicate this to our constituents and then get back to government.
But as NEC, were you satisfied with the outcome of the meeting?
No.
Why were you not satisfied?
We had given indication that we wanted one-time payment of the whole area as far back as documentation as far back as 20 February. And nowhere along the line did they really indicate to us that they wanted to stagger this payment. You owe me for about 12 months. It's not even any big sum of money that you want to now pay it in bit. So a bit of a surprise to even hear that they want to pay this money in Bitcoin. Even though I come back to contact our constituents, but as NEC, who has said, we're not satisfied.
NEC is not satisfied, then it will directly go down to the people who also not...
NEC is a smaller group. When I come back to the constituents, and this is the way UTAC really works, we have to come back, consult our constituents, various campuses take decisions, then NEC will reconvene, and then we get feedback from the various campuses and get consensus.
How long would this take?
We're communicating into our constituents right away.
So possibly, when do you suggest we'll get a final result on what your actions are going to be?
By tomorrow in the evening, all the campuses would have consulted their constituents, then national president to communicate to Minister of the Department of Fair Wages.
Do you think you can come to a compromise with the fair wages? You are demanding for the full payment. Fair wages is saying they can pay in bits. Can you, Rodo, can you come to a compromise on what to do that will benefit both the fair wages and UTAC?
Yes, because we are not really interested in this business of going on strike. Because at the end of the day, we have to come back and do the work anyway. But it appears there was some element of mistrust. So now that we met today and the things are put on the table, even though we're not satisfied, we'll come back and communicate this to our constituents. Then the larger forum will take a decision and we'll get back to government.
When did government expect a response from UTAC?
We couldn't tell them right away then. But now that we come back, we're consulting. The advantage of communication, we'll do things very fast. We'll facilitate the outcome from the various campuses as soon as possible and get back to government.
Okay.
University of Ghana President of UTAC, Dr. Langbong Bumi, talking to Gloria Anderson.
Meanwhile, government has indicated that UTAC arrears of market premium for 2012 will be paid in three installments. The first installment, which will be paid next month, will cover 4 months arrears. The second tranche will be paid in July, will also cover 4 months arrears, while the last 4 months will be paid in September. A release signed by the Minister for Information and Media Relations, Mahama Ayariga, said the Chief of Staff, Prosper Bani, has urged university lecturers to call off the strike while government mobilizes the needed resources to pay the first tranche next month. The Chief of Staff further appealed to UTAC to resume work, given government's undertaking to pay the arrears based on arrangements applicable across board for all other public sector workers owed similar arrears. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. President Mahama says Ghana-China relations are good. Government to pay UTAC premium arrears in installments. Debate on whether or not to elect MMDCE's resurfaces. African heads of state denounce self-imposed president of Central African Republic. And $5 million reward for information leading to capture of Ugandan warlord Joseph Kony and two others.
And President John Dramani Mahama has promoted the Chief of the Defence Staff, Rear Admiral Matthew Kwasi, to Vice Admiral. A statement said the Chief of Army Staff, Brigadier General Richard Opoku Eduse, has been promoted to the rank of Major General, with Commodore Jeffrey Mauli Biekru, the Chief of Naval Staff, being promoted to Rear Admiral. The promotions take effect from the 28th of last month, the day of the appointment.
To reverse the trend of agitations over presidential nomination of MMDCEs, an expert in governance at the Institute of Local Government Studies, Eric Kudro Osai, has reiterated the need for elections to be introduced into choosing new leaders at the district assembly level. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Osai stressed that the election should not be partisan. He said the recent uproar in Kumasi over the appointment of Kojo Bonsu as KMA chief executive should serve as a wake-up call for a revival of the debate on whether or not MMDCEs should be nominated or elected.
As it stands now, the president has nominated somebody. But then it also brings up the issue as to whether or not, as a nation, we haven't gotten to a point where we would allow people in local government environments to elect their own chief executive on the basis of non-partisan. Because I believe that if this man had been elected by the people within the Kumasi Metropolitan Assembly elite environment, no particular group of people can go demonstrating against that person. But as it is now, person has been nominated by His Excellency the President, and they see him to be a party person, and they think that they are not in favor of his nomination. They go out there, do what they did. It's rather unfortunate. As a nation, I believe that it is a wake-up call and all of us to start opening up the debate and, if possible, move towards ensuring that we would allow the chief executive to be elected.
Dean of Studies and Research at the Institute of Local Government Studies, Eric Odro Osai.
The Greater Accra Regional Director of Health Services, Dr. Linda Van Utu, has called on government to put in place appropriate measures to curb maternal mortality. She said Ghana continues to record unacceptable rates of maternal and newborn deaths, which can be prevented. She emphasized the need for NGOs to foster better partnerships with the health sector and advocate strong accountability on the part of healthcare providers. Dr. Van Utu made the appeal at the annual health forum organized by the Ghana Coalition of NGOs in the health sector in Accra. Victoria Haji and Nanetia Asari have filed this report.
The forum, which is organized annually, is to bring together actors in the health sector to discuss vital issues of health concern for relevant stakeholders to respond appropriately to public needs. According to the Greater Accra Regional Health Director, despite efforts by government to reduce maternal mortality and newborn death, the rates continue to rise. She said the Greater Region since 2006 has recorded 1,203 maternal deaths. With newborn deaths, Greater Accra recorded 1,987 cases, though she noted calls for advocacy by all stakeholders in the health sector.
Despite all these interventions, coupled with the availability of more health staff through the opening of more nursing and midwifery training schools and medical schools in the country still faces a lot of challenges in addressing maternal and child health issues. The Greater Accra region and other regions continue to record unacceptably high numbers of maternal and newborn deaths. The major causes of maternal death in Ghana, and therefore in the Greater Accra region, are known, and they are bleeding, high blood pressure in pregnancy, and infection.
Dr. Van Utu indicated that Ghana is unfortunately one of the countries that may not be able to achieve the NDGs Goal 4 and 5, which is on maternal and child health, unless drastic efforts are put in action at all levels by stakeholders, including NGOs. She called on NGOs and civil society organizations to use the MDGs as advocacy tools to support and monitor government's efforts at implementing policies on national development. The Assembly member of Ashaiman, Abdullahi Bukari Ibrahima, urged political leaders, health professionals and policymakers to discuss a specific health goal which focuses on universal access to HIV, TB and malaria services, as well as child, maternal and reproductive health and rights.
That report was filed by Victoria Aji and Nani Kiasari.
Still on health, a former Director General of the Ghana Health Service, Professor Jemaine Beduakosa, says the National Health Insurance Scheme is the best social intervention in the country. He says people must therefore ensure that the right thing is done to sustain the scheme. Professor Beduakosa was speaking at the Forum on Sustainable Healthcare Financing for Ghana in Accra. His topic was the struggle for universal access to healthcare, options Ghana should consider. The meeting, organized by ISODEC, SEND Ghana, Association for Reproductive Health, and a coalition of NGOs in health, was to discuss and reach consensus on realistic options for ensuring financial sustainability for the NHIS to guarantee access to free health care at the point of use. For the details, Asibi Bangui Keller.
The importance of the health care for the growth of the economy cannot be overemphasized, because it is a healthy population that produces the wealth of every nation. The organizers of the meeting were therefore not happy that 8 years after the introduction of the National Health Insurance Scheme, out-of-pocket payments are still the dominant form of financing health care in the country. A former Director General of the Ghana Health Service, Professor Ajiman Beduakosa, said the beginning of the scheme was fraught with problems. It said there is a recipe for corruption in health institutions as officials refuse to account for monies collected. He encouraged district mutual officers to go out and collect premiums. Professor Bedu Akosa was against the scrapping of the premium. He encouraged all Ghanaians to ensure the scheme does not collapse.
Kolobu Teaching Hospital and Kwavanoti Teaching Hospital do not provide basic health care, and it was wrong to have started the teaching hospitals in the first place. At the end of the day, we are born into capital projects that does not ensure the financial sustainability. If that money had been invested and accruals from investment were used for this capital investment, maybe I'll understand. Because still, the base capital for investment will be there. But we've done it, spent a lot of it. And we want to make sure that Ghanaians must defend NHIA with their lives. And therefore, if things are not going right, we should say it and say it as it is, not flavor it in any way that might make it palatable. At the end of the day, if NHIA collapses, the health sector in this country will collapse. And if the health sector in this country collapses, the wealth of this country will sink down the tubes. And where will be done? There's a lot of work to be done, and let us all begin to work.
Organizers of the meeting suggested that innovative ways be devised to replace the premium to ensure universal access to health care free at the point of use, and the adoption of tax-based financing to provide sustainable financing for the NHIS. The country director of Send Ghana, George Osebimpe, also suggested the taxing of operators in the extractive industry to support the NHIS.
Sibi Bangui Kela files that report.
Panelists on our current affairs program Focus, which discussed the water crisis in the country, have identified two main causes for the problem. The first is the lack of adequate resources for the maintenance of water supply systems, and secondly, the lack of cooperation by local communities, traditional rulers, and the assemblies with the water institutions to ensure proper maintenance of water systems. The chief manager in charge of operations, water monitoring and water quality of the Ghana Water Company Limited, Jonas Sablu, called for the support of all to find solution to the problem.
All the institutions which are for the welfare of these water bodies are working together. So we need the support of government to be able to take these illegal miners off the water bodies so that we can have clean water to treat for people. That is one of our main problems. We need consumer support. We need the consumers to see with us when we are having problems and to enjoy with us when we are able to give them enough water. So consumer attitudes should change. They should see themselves as partners in the supply of water for their own consumption.
The acting executive secretary of the Water Resources Commission, Ben Ampoma, said the protection of water bodies has become a security issue and must be tackled as such for a lasting solution.
We've come to a point that is recognized as a security issue, and it has to be tackled as such, as a country. Granted that we've sat down and we've come to this stage, but the point is that we need to, at this point, look at it as a serious national security matter and tackle it as a time. I do know that now we're moving into our resources, in our management, in terms of security, in our concerns. It's not only for water, it has to do with the forest, it has to do with land, it has to do with mining, etc. All natural resources are under siege. So we need to look at these things as a security matter and tackle them head on. But critically, the communities that these activities are undertaking should, as it were, also, you know, be very much cooperative. We should tackle the management of our resources as a collective responsibility.
Meanwhile, a member of the Friends of Rivers and Water Bodies, an NGO, Alan Jumosapong, emphasized on the proper demarcation of land for specific purposes so that people will not interfere with water bodies.
Population is growing. People need places to build houses, places to build factories. If we demarcate our lands properly, people will not go to where there's water, where there should be forest, where there should be something else. That is important. And we should also enforce the laws. The laws are there. Let's enforce them.
You heard views of panelists on Focus, our current affairs program about water crisis in the country.
The Land Commission, Internal Audit Agency and Margins Group Limited yesterday took their turn at the Judgment Debt Commission when it resumed sitting at the Old Parliament House in Accra. Representatives of the three bodies appeared before the Commissioner, Justice Yawa Pau. A fourth body, Mahogany Furniture Company Limited, which was also scheduled to appear, did not, because its CEO was out of Accra. Another company, Frandesco West Africa Limited, did not appear because its office could not be located for the subpoena to be served.
And on the foreign front, African heads of state have decided not to recognize Rebel Chief Michel Djotodia as president of Central African Republic. Chadian President Idriss Déby told journalists at the end of a summit called to discuss the political crisis that it is impossible to recognize a self-proclaimed president, adding that they want the country to elect a transitional president. A committee selected by national figures must lead the transition. This body will have the executive role and must vote for a transitional president who would serve for no more than 18 months.
The U.S. has offered a reward of up to $5 million for information leading to the arrest or capture of Ugandan warlord Joseph Kony. The announcement came as the Ugandan army suspended the search for Kony in the Central African Republic, blaming hostility from its new government. Kony, leader of the Lord's Resistance Army, is wanted by the International Criminal Court for alleged war crimes. He and his fighters are thought to be in the CAR or neighboring countries. U.S. authorities say the reward is also being offered for information on two other top LRA leaders, Okot Odhiambo and Dominic Ongwen.
To end the news, the main points again. President Mahama says relations between Ghana and China are still solid. He said the fear that the arrest of some Chinese who have been engaged in Galamsey in Ghana could mar relations between the two countries is unfounded. Government says it will pay the 2012 arrears of members of UTAC in three installments. This was contained in a statement signed by the Minister of Information and Media Relations, Mahama Ayarika, and African heads of state have decided not to recognize Rebel Chief Michel Djotodia as president of the Central African Republic. The news was presented by Doreen Ampofu
and Samuel Essa in Accra.